Good morning and welcome to our Fall Festival service. We'll be using the order of matins as you find them on page 109. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins for Christ's sake, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, now and ever shall be.
Our first lesson is recorded in the 119th Psalm, beginning with verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Thanks be to God.
my highest good, shall clothe me in glory through faith in His blood.
We read from the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning with the 15th verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Thanks be to God. Our third lesson, as recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, and our Lord says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your holy word, by which you have laid out before us the wonderful path of our salvation through faith in Christ our Lord. We pray that you would grant us hearts of sincere faith to remain with you and to continue to follow the voice of our Good Shepherd as we look forward to our arrival in heaven. We ask it all in his glorious name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and kindness and compassion are yours, to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. The text for our sermon today was the third lesson taken from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, the seventh chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and let us rise to again hear these words in his name. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About 11 years ago or so, I was talking to an alumnus from Bethany College who had been on the campus here roughly around the time that I was, and we were kind of reconnecting again a little bit. And in my conversation with him, he told me something about himself that I had never known, and apparently very few people had known. He had grown up in a nice Christian home, and Lutheran family came here because it was a Christian college and so on. But apparently in his heart, he admitted to me that he was starting to drift away from his faith in Christ and didn't really care about Christ anymore and didn't care about God's word anymore, even though outwardly he looked like he did. He said, in my heart, I had started to really walk away from that faith. But he was so grateful for a particular religion professor who in class, without even knowing it, helped to guide him back onto the path of faith and keep him with his Savior and so on. And he was so grateful for that and had gone on in his life to be a very devout Christian father and husband and had even taught other people the Word of God and to this day still loves and cherishes the Word of God and helps direct others to it and so on. I happened to find that very professor he was talking to just a few months later and mentioned this to him and said, did you ever know anything about that? And he said, no, I had no clue that was the case at all. Our Lord Jesus is talking about two different paths in the text before us today, the one that leads to life through faith in him and the other that leads to destruction. Very simple parable, if you will. And what he's talking about isn't always visible in people's outward lives. What he's actually talking about is this little internal thing that takes place in the heart. And that young man apparently had been wrestling with being taken off of the narrow path Jesus describes and wanting instead to wander on the wide path, even though everybody thought he was still on the narrow path. Jesus tells us that the one road leads to life and the other road leads to destruction. So whichever path we are on with our hearts is of great importance, not only to God, but more importantly to us, to me, to you, because it has direct implications on where we will spend eternity. Our Lord Jesus is speaking these words to his followers, to his disciples. This was given in his Sermon on the Mount. To those who've already come to know that it's only through faith in him that we can get to heaven. Who've come to understand what the cross means. That on that cross our Lord Jesus laid down his life for all of us. To make the great atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the narrow path. But the broad path is the one that especially tempts us and is so alluring to us in this world. And let's first of all look at why is it that this broad road that he describes is so tantalizing to us? Why is it that there's something about that that is so kind of challenging for us in our faith? Well, first of all, it's a road that's not very tough to find. If you take Interstate 35, I-35, down through Iowa, look at it on a map, first of all, it just goes straight right through almost, and you'll see a bunch of little towns off to the side, just a few miles away from that interstate. Go into any one of those towns and ask somebody, can you tell me how to get to the interstate? They can tell you in a heartbeat. Everybody knows how to find that big road. And so it is with this broad road that our Lord is describing, the one that leads to destruction. Everybody knows where it is. Everybody knows how to find it. There are plenty of entrance ramps to get to this highway. And even the faithful in Christ, even those that love Christ and have been brought up to appreciate him and to appreciate the narrow path of faith in him, even they still know how to very easily go back and get on that path. All of us can identify those entrance ramps. Another reason why this broad path is so kind of alluring to us is because it's so accommodating. It has such an easy path of travel. It's well paved and it looks so nice and inviting and so on. And the people that are traveling on this path don't really seem to have many cares in life. A lot of times they can seem a lot happier than the people that are on the narrow path. Sometimes their lives seem to go a lot more smoothly. They sure seem to be succeeding and doing well. And so it's easy for us to think that that's really where life is to be found. And the signs and the billboards on this highway are very attractive. They come at us with appealing things that seem to make it very desirable to want to get off of the narrow path onto the broad road. They tempt us with the pleasures of this life, things that are going to make you feel good, things that seem, at least for now, to be very helpful to us and beneficial for us, things that would seem to provide us with a lot of happiness and joy and contentment right now. And these billboards scream at us with wonderful things that seem so tempting. And this is especially true, I believe, as we go through our college years. It's very easy to forget about where does the road finally lead at the end when you're young. You can start thinking about how fun it is right now just to be on the road. And what tempts us when we're young is to easily put off the final destination and to be more concerned with how easy the road is and how comfortable the road is. And here's something that I think is also very tempting, I know for myself as a Christian. For those of us who are, by God's grace, on the narrow road that leads to heaven, for those of us that have been blessed to be on that narrow road, some of the billboards on the broad highway still scream to us, and we can see them and read them, and they promise us easy access back to the narrow path. They promise us that if we come to the broad road and go that direction for a while and enjoy it for a while, that there are plenty of exits to get back to the narrow road when our hair turns white and we finally get ready to set up plans at the funeral home. But the problem is, once we get on that broad road, it's easy to forget about exiting back to the narrow road. Another reason why the broad road is so tempting is because it's where the multitudes are. It's where the crowd is. Jesus talks about in our text how many there are who are traveling that path. The vast majority in this world are heading down that highway. And just the mere popularity of thinking about life that way, the mere numbers of people that look at life from that perspective make those who are on the narrow road feel like odd ducks and feel like they're missing something and feel like, what if we've got it wrong? What if we're heading the wrong direction? What if I'm spending my whole life concerned about this heaven that doesn't exist? What if I am taking the time to be so caught up with making sure my heart is right with Christ through repentance and faith in Him, and in the end that doesn't matter? Just think what I might be missing out on. Look at all the stuff I could be enjoying on that superhighway and how easy life could be. Why am I back here on this lowly path? So those are the things about the broad road that are so inviting to us. But in addition to that, the narrow path that God has placed His children upon, that narrow road is also very challenging and very difficult. It's not easy to find. It's hard to find. It's not our natural inclination to find it. We need people to point it out to us. Growing up here in Mankato, when I was probably 6th, 7th grade or so, and I'd be biking around the neighborhood, one thing that always bugged me is if people stopped and asked me for directions to Mankato State. And the reason was, upper campus was so hard to get to from here. You couldn't just give them a straight shot. You had to direct them all around the valleys and everything else, and I didn't know the names of the roads. And sometimes I just make up stuff and have them go ask somebody else. When it comes to finding the way to heaven, that is not something that is naturally in people's hearts. It has to come and can only come by divine revelation, when God Himself, through His Word and through those who teach and preach His Word, comes to us and brings us to the cross. And of all the strange places, we would think that that is where we find the path to life, in a dead body, in someone that went and gave his life to make atonement for our sins. And yet this clearly is the narrow path that leads to life. In addition, those of us that are blessed to be placed on that narrow path find that there are very few with us sometimes on the road. We're going to feel like a minority. Jesus says there are few who find it. In the building right next door to us, the Ilva Soccer Center, the father of that man, after whom that was named, Doc Ilva Soccer, his father wrote a commentary on this text, and I always loved what he said about the word few here, when Jesus says there are few who find this narrow road. He said, that is one of the most solemn words in all of Scripture. And that's really true, isn't it? How few there are who find it by the grace of God. And because this highway has no great popularity, those who are on it are going to feel very out of step with the masses of travelers who go through the life in this world. Years ago, when I was serving a church in the cities, I had a young lady come to me. It was a very devout Christian young woman, and she was so frustrated by the fact that she couldn't keep any boyfriends, and I was so puzzled. She was pretty and nice and had a wonderful personality and very pleasant person to be with. It was just hard to imagine. And she said, what I'm running into is that when it comes to the point of explaining to them that I want to preserve my virginity until I'm married, they just can't handle that. And I get dumped. And she was really wrestling with whether or not it was worth it, because it seemed like it was holding her back in life to follow her Savior. There are great challenges to us in our faith to leave the narrow path and to not listen to the voice of Christ anymore. Following the narrow path requires giving up yourself. Jesus says, narrow is the gate that leads to life. It's a narrow gate. It's not one that's easy to walk through. When you go through it, you have to turn sideways and squeeze through, and it's very tight. And what it does is it screens away any of your own goodness. If I try to go through that gate, assuming that somehow because of how good I've been as a person, that's why God's going to let me into heaven, I won't fit. And neither will you. Going through the narrow passageway into heaven on this path requires acknowledgement of our guilt and sin before God. requires acknowledging that there's absolutely nothing you and I could do to gain God's favor. And that's what's tough about the doorway. That is what is so challenging for our human hearts. But by God's grace, as He strips us of our own righteousness, He dresses us in the beautiful, glorious, holy, righteous life of Christ, which alone is where we find our entrance and our hope of heaven. The Christ path is also a path that is not easy to walk upon. Jesus describes it, He says, difficult is the way that leads to life. In the baptismal rite that we use for children in our churches, and for adults too, we have that great question that is often read, do you renounce the devil and all his wicked works and ways? And it's so easy to say, yeah, sure. But to live that, to do that in our day-to-day lives, to take my sin and my guilt that I fall into every day back to the altar of God in humble repentance and seek His grace and forgiveness once again, that's a bumpy road. That's a pothole that's tough to get around. And that's a challenge for us. And likewise, when we live in a world that's so full of abundance and prosperity, to try and keep our hearts and minds focused on heavenly riches instead of earthly riches, this is a very difficult road on which to walk. And so even though the doctrine of getting to heaven through God's grace in Christ is as easy as you can get, because we don't do anything, Christ has done it all. Even though the way to heaven has been completely opened freely for every one of us because of what Christ has done, nonetheless, the path itself of faith, of walking through that door, is still challenging and difficult, because it contradicts the world we live in, and it contradicts the very urges we have often in our sinful hearts. And yet, how wonderful by God's grace that He preserves us on that path. The travelers on each of these two roads that Jesus described notice each other. And it's easy for us who've been blessed to be on the narrow path to feel a little bit like we're missing out, and to often wonder why those who are in all the mass of travelers going on the broad highway, why they're laughing at us. But our Lord Jesus wants all of us to remember, what is the final destination? Where are we finally heading? And when we do finally go through that narrow gate into heaven, maybe with blisters on our feet, we're going to look back at the path and be so grateful that God placed us there by faith in our Savior. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.
be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Please be seated. Good morning. On behalf of all of us here at Bethany Lutheran College, welcome. This weekend was filled with a wide variety of activities, and I hope you had the opportunity to sample at least a few of them. But it is by no accident that we gather here this morning centered on God's holy word as the culmination of this weekend. And I want to thank Chaplain Wolstead for his message of encouragement that we remain focused on Jesus to guide us on that path to heaven. And I want to thank the music department and their various expressions of musical talent to enhance this worship service here with us. And I want to thank you as parents, extended family, alumni and friends of Bethany for the support that you have given us through the years and for giving us the opportunity to be able to continue to provide a Christ-centered education for young men and women. I would encourage you to join us for lunch, if your schedule allows it, at noon today in the dining hall. And whether your travels take you near or far, we pray that they go safely. And we would encourage you to join us here again on campus whenever it works out for you. We love to have friends come and visit us. So please join us again as soon as possible. Thank you.